So again, that's where we are. And again, you know, most of you may have seen this decal, may have pictures of it in your gin, or may you still use it. This is from a number of years ago. This is one of our, I guess, earlier efforts whenever I came on board with the Bell Packaging Program and Technical Services, the council talking about contamination prevention. These are some of the, you know, some of the issues that you deal with daily in the field and at the cotton gins. And again, some of the, I guess, the early message from downstream from our spinners was that, you know, if you've been in an area and have had bad results because of improper harvesting practices or ginning practices, we won't go back. And this is what one of our spinners said, and said, there's not a price discount that will equate to those contamination problems, because it is not just a value of the goods, it's the damage you've done to your customer's reputation, and that's hard to repair. So again, that's why we continue to come back and talk about contamination. These are, you know, from an earlier trip to a textile mill. This came from India, talking about what they see in their plant. Again, this is just one page out of a book and a display that had hundreds of pages, different types of contamination that they use with their workers. This is something a little bit more recent from a mill in South America, where they sent us pictures of a book. They also sent us, okay, we are going through this by hand. Here's a PBI tag that identifies a specific bale of cotton in the U.S. And oh, by the way, here's a piece of black plastic sticking out of that bale once we removed the bag. And they hadn't even got inside the bale before they started finding contamination problems. You know, what do you see? Again, at the retail level, or just getting ready to go to the retail level, you get shirts that have been gone through, dress shirts. All of a sudden, their value goes very low, and they become seconds or thirds, and the customers won't accept these. Now, in foreign mills, again, a normal practice has been to glean these contaminations out by hand because of where they source their cotton that has a lot more heavily contamination load than they will typically find from U.S. cotton, but they do find contamination periodically. This is one of the earlier systems. Again, this has a camera. It depends on the difference in color between the white lint and the colored contaminant. So it's just got one type of optical camera. And again, whenever this system found a piece of contamination in the lint, it just swiped the whole system clean, and you lost a pretty good significant load of cotton. Since then, we've got new systems that have multiple scanners that are specific to, say, olefin type fibers or materials, which is our polyethylene and polypropylene bagging plastics that come and used in a lot of different areas. But these are systems are capable of detecting that type of material regardless of the color. They've also got cameras in them, or detection units that can detect oil and other materials as well. And again, as the cotton falls down the lint stream, their cameras are measuring how fast it falls, kind of like those videos you saw. And at some point, instead of taking a slice of cotton out of that bag as it comes down through the system, it shoots a kind of a bullet and shoots that piece of contaminant out of the airstream. So these are some of the newer things that are coming on the horizon. Now, a system like this at a mill can handle one system close to $500,000, handle 60 bales of cotton in a 24-hour period. So obviously that's not something that you can use at a cotton gin. So again, these are talking about the contamination cost. Again, when we first put this presentation together, mills were spending about $200 million a year on contamination prevention, results of broken contracts, lost business, and certainly a loss of confidence. And so that's what we're trying to make sure that we get back from our contamination prevention efforts, the confidence that U.S. cotton is relatively free of contamination. And again, here is, you know, just another picture of detecting contaminants in finished good, in this case, denim. Again, you know, going through manually and picking those contamination out if it didn't get found beforehand. And there you see a picture of a dress shirt with a small piece of black fabric, and again, that has resulted in a product that is almost worthless. Certainly be sold as a second. A consumer is not going to accept that type of defect in a shirt. So where have we come? Well, you know, in the late 60s, we came up with a industry's Bell Packaging Committee. I guess it was one of the first efforts. Followed that shortly with coming up with the Universal Bell Standards. Committee with the council and other industry sources came up and standardized the dimensions. Again, coming up looking at from the Bell packaging standpoint, we've come up with new materials, new ways of packaging cotton, come to the fully coated, fully covered bale. I guess the last change was in the about 2003, 2004 when we went to fully coating woven fabrics, the baggings, and since then we've not had a reported incident that can be specifically tied to the bagging from a domestic or foreign mill, even though we continue to get complaints from them saying your bagging is causing contamination. But because of trace elements and other ways of looking at the fibers, particular contaminants, we could theoretically find and determine if that bagging was the source of that contamination. One other thing, the mills, both domestic and foreign, for a number of years have said, you know, get rid of burlap bagging. Well, we've gone for 5 years in the U.S. without any gins, at least any reported gins, for any reports of gins using burlap. So we've moved in a direction that is positive from a mill standpoint when it comes to our bagging choices. Other thing we talked about, fully coated bagging. You know, this is why one of the reasons for establishing the committee. At that time, back in the 60s, you know, all the bales were sampled before or after they were bagged. That has gone away. Now that you're no longer using this type of system, you take the sample before you bag the bales. We have very few sample cuts made afterwards unless it goes into the certification program in Memphis or Dallas or a few other spots around the Cotton Belt where you do get those samples. But again, we've urged people and work with the warehouses and the merchants and others to make sure those sample holds are covered if that's the case. And go into materials that completely cover the bale and protect its integrity. Now, look back at that system we saw a few minutes ago. We see this type of contamination that tissue system captures. Cotton Incorporated took a few of those samples, gleaned them out, separated them out, the fiber part of those samples versus the non-fiber. And again, these are the things that are picked up in the field usually and get into the ginning system. Again, another look at contamination, magnification of that. Now, this is what that looks like up close, a piece of black plastic could have been from a number of sources, but typically this is identified. Well, we know this was polyethylene. We know that much about it from its fingerprint. You know, what are the sources, the tie-downs that are used in the fields on modules. Another concern is oil that appears is collected at textile mills, at the gin, in this case, when the gin had a bad press leak and it continued to cause, again, you could see this on the surface of the bale, but because of the type of leak that it was, the merchandiser of that cotton was sure that leak or that oil that appeared on the surface was also in the interior of that bale. And again, those are things that once they latch on and grab a hold to the fibers in that bale, you're not going to get rid of them. They're going to cause different problems for the textile industry. You can't scour or or dye or bleach that cotton properly. So those are things that we urge, work with the ginners to make sure that, and others, where grease and oil keep it away from the lint. Again, torn Manju covers are an issue. Along the same line at the textile mill where I picked up these other pictures, they found a bandana that came down out of the system and was collected as part of a one night's contamination output. And then the next day, once they found that in the system, they started walking the line of the mill and they found the bale of cotton that was identified and had the rest of the bandana in it. So you can see it's, it gets wide, pretty mangled up by the time it gets to the system. Again, we've got different colors. Once again, reds, blacks, other things, small particles that cause major problems. So from the standpoint of what is causing our contamination, still the major part of U.S. is plastics from a multiple number of sources. That gets into the cotton, but you can see that a considerable part of that is still apparel of some type. In other words, it's something that got in the Manju feeder or something, then got into the ginning system, either during harvest or at the gin. So certainly continue to watch that. And again, contamination is a big hurdle. If it wasn't, you wouldn't have all these presentations to listen to this morning. Again, this is just more of what I see in my interactions with textile mills, examples of things that come into us to show us what they're finding in U.S. cotton. So our message has been consistent over the years. Try to work with the harvesting crews and get them to acknowledge that and be aware of this type of contamination in the field to pick it up. And make sure that doesn't get into harvesting. Again, this is a picture that we've used before, but looking at that plastic, in this case it's white. It could be the black plastic mulch that gets it picked up in the field. In this case, it's on the brush of a harvester. Spindle picker will do the same thing, tear it up into very small strips that are hard for you to deal with at the gin. Anytime we discuss contamination, we need to talk about sticky cotton a little bit. And this is what happens at the mill. If there's a lot of honeydew and stickiness in that cotton that gets through, managed to get gin and get into a bale, it will literally shut down a textile mill as it begins to build up on some of their cleaning equipment as the cotton feeds into the mill. So as we talked with the consultants there every day, urged them to look out for white flies, look out for those, watch for the honeydew and the buildups and those black spots on the cotton that causes issues. Again, whenever it's come to Manju feeders, be sure and have inspections in place to ferret out contamination if you do see it. This is something that with the round Manju, something new. Again, this is a picture we took a couple of years ago of a Manju feeder. This material came from one textile mill in a bag, was retrieved from China this past summer as one of our trade teams went over there and brought it back to us. Again, while there were some other things in the bag, most of it was this type of yellow plastic. And we see that. This is what they're seeing. So this is why it's so important to engage you guys in this conversation about contamination prevention. Again, the Manju tarps, make sure those are discarded, not used whenever they get in this condition. Use cotton tie-downs. I've had a guy from Oklahoma, a cotton grower, said, I always use cotton tie-downs on my Manju tarps, and I'm really concerned because my neighbors don't. And so the message needs to be consistent from that standpoint. Again, plastic gets in all shapes and forms. Again, here's some in the Manju sticking out. Don't know what's inside. And so we continue to put out this type of material. The good news from the latest ITMF survey is that we're trending in the right direction. U.S. cotton is seen as less contaminated than we have been. and particularly compared to other groups. So we have a good record from that standpoint. This is our latest effort. We sent out a mailing to all the cotton gins this past fall before the ginning season started with a mailer for them to send to their growers. And I hope that some of you ginners did send those to the growers with the message, you know, we've got to be contamination free and that we don't want those situations where we have problems and feedback from the mills that they're getting either a grower, a gin, or a region that's on their list of we don't want to buy cotton from that area anymore. So with that, I know you've got other good presentations here, and I thank you for your time. If you've got any questions, I've used up my time, but anyway, I'm sure you all have a chance to ask some questions later.
Any questions for Dale?